You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
The radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It's You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. And I'm Joe Galewski. Thanks for listening to us today. udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. If you have a phone, use it. 877-711-5211. We're on iHeartRadio Talk. This is a great way to experience your favorite shows and personalities and hear what's going on in the world of health today. And add Radio MD and You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show to the Daily Pulse on iHeartRadio Talk. This is a special news and update station you can customize. And you can try it out for free. Go to iHeartRadio.com, download the app, or use it on the web. If you use the web, click Talk in the main menu and then search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and then you're on iHeartRadio Talk. We also welcome two new affiliates today to the program, KNZZ, that's 1100 AM in Grand Junction, Colorado, and KGLN AM 980 in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. Welcome to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Hello, Dr. Mike.
Hello, Joe.
So by leaps and bounds, we reach more and more people all the time, either through iHeartRadio Talk or a new affiliate. So we welcome them all in.
Absolutely. And two more stations in Colorado. We're gradually penetrating the West Coast, of course, with RadioMD.com. TuneIn Radio and iHeart Talk. Anybody can get us any place in the world.
Right, KNZZ in Grand Junction and KGLN, both AM stations in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. Dr. Robert Slay is our guest at 35 after the hour. What can you talk about? What can you tell us about him?
Well, he's a ER doc who, in fact, has had more shows on the ER. If you will, the Untold Stories of the ER TV program than any other doc. And in addition, he and his wife, who I think met in the service, got relatively obese after the service with their sedentary lifestyle. And a few years ago decided they had to get fit when they started seeing chronic disease. And so they have written a book on their successful story called Battle Buddy Diet. Mm-hmm. Battle Buddy Diet.
He's also a former Delta Force physician, and he'll be with us at 35 minutes after the hour. You have a Real H tip game plan for this hour today?
We do, but I'm not going to tell you what it is because it'll depend on how much time we have left after the whether I do a short one or a long one, depending on how much time we have left.
All right, that'll be up at just before the end of the hour if we have a chance to get to it. Also, the top medical stories of the week, and we'll have a chance to get to some of your email questions and Dr. Mike's email answers at udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Calories are hiding in restaurants, and some restaurant dishes have calories that are deceptively high. How about some details on that?
Well, this is an interesting story because there are a number of restaurants that are trying to cut out or reduce the calories they have and are even advertising it. So there's an attempt, if you will, to say we're reducing calories and we're putting calories on the menu. But what is happening is it's not exactly accurate. What do I mean by that? I mean that there are a lot more calories that sneak in some of these meals. Guess which restaurants have calories that sneak in?
All of them.
Well, one of the worst is, in fact, if you will, the Cheesecake Factory is reducing calories in two pasta dishes by using less sauce, said David Overton, founder and chief executive of the 163 location chain. Well, in fact, you know, they are on the prize for CSPI, Consumer Science in the Public Interest, as a restaurant that has some of the worst and most hidden calories, if you will. So we've got to be careful about that. And one of the reasons they decided to compete in it was, in fact, they were winning the prize so often. So
even the title of the restaurant has too many calories in it. That's Cheesecake
right.
Factory.
Cheesecake Factory. That's right. But the average calories per purchase has fallen 6% at the restaurants with calorie counts at the menu. 65% say they favor nutritional labeling. And if you will, many restaurants are piling on calories in places you don't know. And many of those, such as in the salad dressings, which they don't count. For example, Subway doesn't list the cheese on some of their calorie counts. So you've got to, unfortunately, read the labels pretty carefully. And what they're trying to do is voluntarily post calories on the menus, which obviously McDonald's and Starbucks and Panera voluntarily do, but you've actually got to read them and pay attention to them. Remember, it isn't fat calories that count. It's the total calories that count. And in fact, sugar calories are some, or carbohydrate calories are some of the worst from a standpoint of eating because we tend to get addicted to them.
I got an email today from the Burger Consumer Trend Report, and this comes out every so often. And this latest report says 90% of people say they've eaten a burger at least once a month. And more than half of the survey respondents say they want the menu to specify the kind of beef used. And most burger people who eat burgers want Angus beef. It's interesting. It's followed by ground beef, then Kobe beef. 25% of these people who add a burger want to be able to put their burger in a gluten-free bun. How about that? They want it in a gluten-free bun. And
why do they care whether it's gluten-free or not?
I know. And 25% of the people who eat a burger want it in a gluten-free bun. So that, as I said, doesn't make sense.
Well, part of it is maybe let's explain gluten. Gluten is the gummy substance that's in wheat, barley, and rye. And in fact, in about 1 in 250 has a disease associated with it, meaning causes an immune disease. Maybe 4% of people have some bowel dysfunction from it, get bloating, diarrhea, something else, don't feel as good with it. But for 25%, that's a huge amount. And what do they do to make food gluten-free? They often put in straight sugar or tapioca, stuff that is strong in carbohydrate, immediate increase in blood sugar, which actually causes more health problems in the long run, leading to arterial disease, cancer, et cetera, because of the way it changes your genes and protein function. So those things, in other words, eating gluten-free isn't necessarily eating healthy or healthfully for you unless you are one of the either 1 in 250 or 4% and feel much better with it. But be careful of what you ask for when you ask for gluten-free.
Yeah, 25% of them want it on a gluten-free bun. Vegan choices are requested by 23%, vegetarian by 22%, which is up from a year ago, 18% a year ago. And in this report, the top choices for specialty burger diners were Hawaiian, Cuban, Southwest, Cajun, number one, Philly cheesesteak. That was the number one burger choice on the list. The Burger Consumer Trend Report comes out every year. What's a vegan sofrito? What's a vegan sofrito?
Well, in fact, this is a new set of recipes that one of the restaurants is starting. And why am I blanking on it? Chipotle is starting this.
Chipotle, yeah.
That's right. And this is an attempt to get healthier. That is to get a healthier set of I'm going to let you take it away, and we'll come back with it.
Yeah, we'll pick it up after the break and talk about more changes for cancer screening and treatment, too. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you weekly by YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. We'll talk emergency room theatrics, so to speak, coming up at 35 past the hour with our guest, Dr. Robert Slay. He's the chief ER physician for Marina Del Rey Hospital in California. He's written scripts for television, starred in Untold Stories of the ER, and he'll talk about that. He'll talk about some of the working experiences in the emergency room, plus more on his book called The Battle Buddy Diet. He wrote it with his wife, who is also a physician, Dr. Robert Slay, at 35 minutes after the hour. Before we went into the break, you were talking, Dr. Mike, about the vegan sofrita at Chipotle. And then we got into the break, and you didn't have a chance to kind of expand on that a little bit.
Right. Well, this is a true vegan dish that is made by Chipotle, but instead of having anything else with it, like cheese or eggs or something like that, it uses, if you will, tofu. And so it's a tofu-filled sofrita. And it is, in fact, said to be the first fast food vegan meal that isn't a veggie burger or a salad. It costs around rice and beans in a bowl wrap or burrito. It's about $6.50 at their 1,450 restaurants nationwide. It seems a little more pricey than most things.
Yeah.
And obviously there should be a nice profit on it because the ingredients are less pricey.
Why don't you lower the price? We talked about this before with healthy food. Lower the price, sell more in volume, and make this, if not more money, the same amount of money. Profit would be the same. Why? All the healthy stuff's more expensive than the fast food stuff.
It doesn't make much sense to me, especially because the healthy stuff costs less to make.
That's crazy.
Get it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the ingredients. No, I don't know full cost of making it. But the ingredients are less expensive ingredients.
What's a sofrita?
It would be annoying. You know, I don't actually know other than it's a, it looks like a burrito to me.
Okay. Let's call it a vegan burrito. Vegan sofrita. Maybe that's something that's special to the Chipotle restaurant chain. Instead of calling it a burrito, they'll call it a sofrita to make themselves stand out.
Do you know the answer to that?
What, sofrita?
Yeah.
It's a burrito. I'll believe you. It's a burrito. I'll call it a burrito, right? Is it a burrito?
I don't know. It looks to me like it tastes okay. when I've someone brought me one.
Oh.
It looked to me like a and here's what it is. I now have Googled it, if you will. A sofrito is a Spanish word referring to a culinary combination of aromatic ingredients which have been cut in very small pieces.
All right. Is that a burrito?
It looks to me like a burrito.
All right. The Bloomberg soda ban was overturned by a judge. How about that?
Yeah, apparently they thought there wasn't enough data to prove Mayor Bloomberg's point.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, by the time we get enough data, the country will be bankrupt and only judges will have jobs. And I don't mean that. I mean, that's a little extreme, obviously. But what we really do mean is that if chronic disease is increasing enough and the medical costs are increasing enough in this country, that we're either going to have rationing or we're going to have a cram down like we had with the sequester on social programs, on education, and even on research and defense, because we aren't cutting medical costs.
But isn't Bloomberg's edict a cram down in a way?
Say it again.
Isn't Bloomberg's edict of banning soda a cram down?
Yeah, except if you really want it, you can get two 16-ounces
right. Instead
of a 32-ounce.
Right.
What he's trying to do is up the conversation so we understand that medical costs for the city of New York are going to limit social services and education in New York City. Medical costs for our federal government are limiting education, are limiting social programs, are limiting the research spending, are essentially we're eating our seed corn by having chronic disease. It isn't that the medical establishment is charging too much. That's a little bit of the problem, but a small part of it. It isn't that we're aging too fast. That's a small part of the problem, significant but small. The major part, 80% of the problem, is that we have too much chronic disease, and we have too much chronic disease because we're eating too much, not exercising, having too much toxins like tobacco, and not managing our own stress.
I think you said one of the reasons he did that was to begin to discussion about this and get people talking about it. Which is, I think, good. Should be talking about it and, you know, getting all as much available information and facts as humanly possible. But I don't think there was much debate on it. I think he just did it, and there wasn't, wasn't a lot of debate on it. And if his intent was to get discussion going, there wasn't much discussion. It was like, he's put it, he made it a law, you know. So I think maybe his way about going about it was a little bit, a little bit too forward, and there wasn't a lot of debate about the issue, and I think there should be.
So what you now, and in fact, the more debate, maybe people will realize, but it's pretty tough to, how do I say it? It seems to me pretty tough to get this, the debate going and us making changes in a time frame that's appropriate. What do I mean by that, Joe? I mean that it's taken us 55 years to get smoking rates from, 45 or 50% of the general population down to 19%. If we're that slow with obesity, we will have a different society in America. And in fact, the whole world, you know, we now have been overtaken in obesity rates by two countries, which is really astonishing. Mexico and Australia have overtaken us, and New Zealand. I always think of Australia and New Zealand as healthy, but they're quickly moving up with us, to get as high a rate of obesity as we have.
Why are we? Are they emulating us?
Well, of course, they're following our diets. We've exported our fast food, and we've exported, if you will, high-calorie, high-sugared meals, and the taste of sugar and lack of physical activity, more games, more staying put on your smartphone and not moving around.
Yeah, I mean, we are subject to exploitation of all this stuff. McDonald's recently came out with their quarterly report, and they found out that the healthier, being healthy they are, really weren't selling well and not really contributing to the bottom line and not increasing their profits, whereby the other stuff that's cheaply priced is doing pretty well for them. But again, I guess that goes back to the issue of, if you've got something that's cheap and you've got something that's more expensive that may be even more healthy, then, the economy being where it is, I think people will opt for the cheaper food than they will the healthier food. Even, I guess if it was a little more competitive priced, I think maybe people would think about it. But, they're saying it's not selling in their fast food places, and they're not going to spend as much time promoting it anymore because people don't seem to want to gravitate toward that.
Joe, we ought to talk at least about the scientists discover another cause of the bee death. There's this...
Yep.
Bee problem with colony collapse disorder. Turns out when they've looked at the bees, what they're eating, it tends to have a lot of fungicide and pesticide on it, the pollen that they're getting. And apparently those pesticides and fungicides make the bees vulnerable to a parasite that appears to be associated with this colony collapse disorder. So we're not sure, but it means we're probably all getting these pesticides and fungicides in pretty good quantity if the bees are.
All right, we'll be back with our guest. He is Dr. Robert Slay. He's the chief ER physician for a hospital in California, works in the ER, and he'll talk about his Battle Buddy Diet 2. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Royson on Radio MD. Stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
35 after the hour, Dr. Robert Slay is the chief emergency room physician for Marina Del Rey Hospital in California. He's written scripts for and starred in the Discovery Health Channel's hit reality-based television series, medical series, Untold Stories of the ER. He's been featured on that show more than any other doc, and has also appeared in the hit TV series Mythbusters and Man Answers. He also has written the book called The Battle Buddy Diet. Wrote that with his physician wife, and you can get that on Amazon. Dr. Robert Slay's here. Thanks for coming on. Why do you think Untold Stories of the ER is such a popular show, Doctor?
You know, it is. First off, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to talk to a giant like yourself, believe me. I'll tell you what, you know, it's amazing. The ratings on that show are off the roof. They're going into their ninth season. And people just love that combination of mystery, intrigue, self-destructive behavior, and that kind of thing that goes on that show. The ones that I've given them usually contain some humor. I think that's another important part of making it attractive. But the show goes on, and they're getting ready for their next season. They now have a spinoff called Sex Brought Me to the ER. Now tell me that isn't going to be a winner. Now we've got ER intrigue with sex. That's going
to
work.
I've yet to experience that thrill, but I hope someday soon I can. Here's Dr. Mike Roizen.
Thank you.
Some of my most fun times in medicine, when you look back on it, were in the emergency room at San Francisco General Hospital where I did...
I happen to have been there myself at the old mission.
Right, some of my training in the mission. And, you know, we had a... this shows you the difference in medical treatment. You'd now be arrested if you did this. But the person who ran the ER, who ran the surgical services at San Francisco General Hospital,
right,
in those days, Dr. Blazer, wanted everybody to be perfectly ready. And so even if no one was in the ER at 3 a.m. in the morning, he would do spot visits. And if you weren't ready as a intern or resident, you got a Foley catheter. You got an NG tube, and you got tied to the gurney for 24 hours.
Yes, I'm actually familiar with that. I was there before you, actually. I'm a little bit older than you, believe it or not. Not according to your test. You're way younger than me according to your test, which irritated me a little bit. But, yeah, I think most people have fond memories if they've been an intern and been in the ER. It's kind of, I call it the trailway station of medicine. Usually it can be one that can be dangerous and sometimes funny, but nonetheless, variety is a blessing. Let's put it that way. You're going to see a little something of everything. The only criterion for admission to the ER in our country, as you know, is you have to be a homo sapien. And you get entitled to the same care as President Obama, no matter of your ability to pay, sex, religion, or your attitude. You can spit on me, call me names, insult my family, bite me, fight me, and I still will take care of you. Because that's the way we go.
And the interesting thing is we used to have, you know, a guy would come in with a gunshot wound and two women would be in with him, both thinking they were his one and only, and they would break out in a fight, you know, which in those days, thank God, wasn't with guns. It was with their pocketbooks, and they could swing those pocketbooks.
Yes, they could, and you want to stay out of the way. Yeah, I've been involved in several of those, and sometimes it's over the guy's prone body on the stretcher as they have the fight. I've had as many as four show up, none of whom knew about the other, for a single guy, and that gets real tense. Now, sometimes in the waiting room, they'll bond together and decide that the guy is the problem, and then that changes the dynamic completely there. He's having a heart attack, and they're wishing he would die. But, yeah, that happens all the time, too.
So I want to go over a couple of the funniest stories, but I also want to get to the history of the battle buddy diet and its success. And because I think that's important. So let's take a couple stories in the rest of the segment. We have two about 8-minute segments. And
okay.
Then in the next segment, we'll talk about the battle buddy diet.
All right.
So,
and you realize now that these stories that I'm telling you, these are the real stories of the ER, that ER doctors will only tell each other. Okay? You realize that.
Of course.
Don't forget, we're from Los Angeles, even though we film in Canada, and so there's a little bit of Hollywood here. So the gentleman came into the ER, and he was having severe abdominal pain, clenched over in the waiting area, so he got to come back. Not everybody gets to come back because of what we call triage, but he was sick enough to come back. And examining him, I couldn't really figure out what was going on. He didn't have a surgical abdomen, but he certainly appeared to be very ill, a young man claiming to be a veteran. And he had dog tags and all kind of stuff, and he had scars all over his abdomen and chest from war wounds and so forth. And it turned out that we went ahead and in the workup took an x-ray, and lo and behold, in the x-ray, we see two, maybe three, but at least two Gillette double-edged razor blades in his stomach area. As you know, that would be the left upper quadrant. And so I went back and asked him, well, how did these razor blades get in your stomach? What's going on here? Well, I was at a bar, you know, and these guys were betting me, you know, that I wouldn't do it, and I went ahead and just swallowed the razor blades. So, of course, we're very upset about this. You being in the surgical field, you understand that there's a tremendous risk that he's going to cut one of his intestines or his stomach. He's going to get peritonitis, inflammation on the inside of the stomach, and die. So we admit him to the hospital. We try to talk him into surgery. Oh, no, I'm not going to have surgery. I've had too many surgeries in my life from the battle wounds. Nobody's going to cut me again, on and on. As we undress him, one of the things he refuses to do is take off his dog tags. Nobody's taking these tags off until they're on my toe and I'm a dead man. Nobody takes my dog tags off. So we admit him to the hospital. He's refused the surgery. Daily, we're taking x-rays of this guy's belly to see what's happening with the razor blades. They seem to be staying in the stomach. They are not going down the intestines or anywhere else. So we continue to try to talk him into letting us, you know, at least maybe do an endoscopy where we look down over the tube and see if we can retrieve him. Let's see. We don't know what to do. The GI guys are baffled. The general surgeons want to operate. We don't know what to do. Meanwhile, this guy, he's kind of like McMurtry in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He's bigger than life. He started playing poker on the ward. He started taking people's money. He's very friendly with the nurses who like him. And he seems to be disappearing from the ward on a regular basis and coming back intoxicated, leaving the hospital. So finally, with pressure from various chiefs and so forth, we talk him into, please let us do the endoscopy. We'll look down there and see where the razor blades are. It's been now 4 or 5 days. He doesn't seem sick at all. He's eating steak. He's running around the place like he's very happy. So we do the endoscopy, and I'm in the room at the time because I want to see the razor blades. They're not really sure how they're going to get them out. If they see them, they just want to verify where they are. Are they wedged or what's going on there? So we look in them, and no razor blades. No razor blades. We look in the fundus. We look all over the stomach. No razor blades. So now what? So now we take him back to x-ray, do the x-ray. There are the razor blades. Back to endoscopy. Back in again. No razor blades. So you give me the diagnosis, Mike.
Well, he's got the razor blades either attached to the outside of his stomach or someone left them in at one of his prior operations, or he... I don't know what else it could be.
Now I know why you were AOA in medical school. His dog tags, which he wouldn't take off. What I decided to do was take a lateral of his abdomen. This was before the days of CT and so forth. I took a lateral of his abdomen. There are the razor blades on the surface of the skin. Exactly right. Taped behind his dog tags were the razor blades, which he would then take off with scotch tape, stick onto his stomach for the x-ray, put back onto his dog tags. So I confronted him, grabbed the dog tags, got the evidence and so forth. The guy stormed out of the ER, you know, took his stuff, his medals and everything, and left the place, saying that we didn't care about him and all this stuff. And it turns out that was in a VA hospital. It turns out there was no law against that. It turns out this guy was a professional Munchausen who had gone up and down the East Coast with the razor blades, and that was before we had widespread internet or distribution of information like this. And now was coming to the West Coast, which is where I ran into him. So we finally did make the diagnosis, and he finally did leave with bad attitude. Bad
Joe?
Attitude.
Be back with Dr. Richard Slay, a script writer for Untold Stories of the ER, and a book with his wife, which is called The Battle Buddy Diet. You can buy that on Amazon. More with him and Dr. Mike coming up after the break. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only one in five girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance. And that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to greatstartgtl.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at greatstartgtl.com. That's greatstartgtl.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to greatstartgtl.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guarantee.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And our guest is Dr. Robert Slate, co-author of a book called The Battle Buddy Diet. He wrote that with his physician wife. You can get that on Amazon.com. Here's Dr. Mike Royson.
And I want to talk to him, that is Dr. Slate. We've talked about ERs and untold stories of the ERs so far, but what I want to talk to him about is he and his wife decided to wage a personal war on obesity and disease. One, what's the origin of it, and what is the Battle Buddy Diet?
Well, you know what happened was my wife came home about 4 or 5 years ago and said, you know, Bob, I was looking at the World Health Organization, this thing called BMI. BMI, what a... Make a long story short, I was shocked to find out the World Health Organization considered me obese. Now, that was weighing 238 pounds at about 5'8", 5'9". That is pretty obese. And so I decided, well, maybe I need to look into this and find out what's going on here. I'd had a 32-inch waist my entire life growing up. I'd been an athlete, been a Special Forces Army Delta Force guy, never had a problem with weight. Nothing like that. And looking at the literature, I found out that, wait a minute, this means, and you know this well, that you're going to lose anywhere from 12 to 16 to 18, maybe 20 years off your life based on abdominal obesity. And I said, my God, this can't be happening to me. As you know, when we go to work, I was in the changing room with the other doctors putting on scrubs for the ER. And as you know, the scrubs are color-coded. The little drawstrings are different colors for different sizes. So I started out with the orange for small when I first started working, and some 15 years later, I've graduated up to the lethal red, which is double extra large with a 40-inch waist. And I didn't think I really had a problem. People, Dr. Andrew Weil said that part of growing old is gaining weight and it's graceful aging and on. But the shocking news of all the diseases, now some 38 and growing, and you know this better than me, got my attention. Not only the metabolic syndrome, diabetes, hypertension, atherosclerotic heart disease, triglyceridemia, etc., but also the fact that cancers, GERD, sleep apnea, and the list goes on and on and on. As you know now, there are probably five or six cancers associated with this obesity, so we decided we had to do something. We'd also fallen into what I call the Mako syndrome, which is the middle-aged couple obesity syndrome. And that's where the husband and wife sit there and they watch the TV eating chips, eating processed foods, and gaining 5 or 6 or 5 pounds a year times 10 years, 15, 20 years of marriage, and suddenly can't understand why they're not attractive to each other, why they feel depressed, no energy, and the relationship seems to be going nowhere. And that's where we were. So we started looking into the literature, and one of the major things, I have to give credit to Dr. Esselton and Campbell, Forks Over Knives was definitely the video, and if people in your audience haven't seen it, and I'm sure many have, they need to see that, was really got my attention. And further investigation into all the world's literature, university-based and so on, about longevity, diet, obesity, and so on, push us into designing our own diet. And what the diet came down to is what you and your listeners are well aware of, and that is whole foods, grains, beans, and I like to add salmon. And essentially with that diet, and we put that in place, we decided as a bond. And what this book is all about is how, with your domestic partner, you can do it. You cannot do it without the help of your domestic partner. If the two of you decide we're not going to have any lethal foods in our house, we're going to stick together. We're going to bond together for 4 weeks. We're going to stick to this diet. We're going to exercise. And we're also going to do a little resistance training. And we're going to, at the end of the 4 weeks, we're going to see where we are. And, Mike, you know the end of the story. The end of the story is the end of 4 weeks. You have lost somewhere between 10. I lost 12 pounds. Your waist has gone down by about 2 inches. You have new energy. You feel better than you've ever felt before. So after 4 weeks, you said, let's go for 12. At the end of 12, I lost 30-some pounds. She had lost 20-some pounds. More importantly, my lipids, my blood pressure, and all those things which were hovering on metabolic syndrome all went back to normal. And it was then I decided we can never go back. We've got to stay the course here. And as you know, once you get past that initial change and you grieve for the beef you're not going to have anymore, and you grieve for the other kind of foods that you just can't eat, especially processed lethal food, then you decide this is a better way to go. You feel better. You don't feel hungry. You have new energy. And all of your, more importantly, your chance of functional longevity is immensely increased by the diet. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
And so have you stuck with that now?
We have stuck with it. Now, I've had a few little things where I've gained a few pounds here and there, like a vacation, and I think no one is perfect. And I used to be Dr. Esselton, who allows no drift here. I used to be like that. You can never have anything. But let's face it, you maybe want to have a little turkey for Thanksgiving. You maybe want to have a little treat or a special occasion or something like that. But, yes, we both kept our weight down. I weigh what I weighed in high school. She weighs what she weighed in high school, and we're on no medications. We feel more energy than we've ever felt in our lives, and doing it together was the key. Just one quick story. My son came home from college, and he brought, you know, with him coffee ice cream. We were in the middle of this process when this happened. Put it in the freezer. He ate a little bit of it and left the rest. So Monday morning, my wife's going to work. As you know, anesthesia gets there early. I'm going to go a little bit later, so she's leaving. I said, you know, honey, we need to take that ice cream out of that freezer, and I'm going to put it down the sink because if it stays here, I'm going to eat it, and we just can't eat it. And she says, that's a good idea, Bob. So she gets in the car. I go into the freezer, get the ice cream out. I can't even wait to go upstairs and get a spoon. I see a screwdriver sitting on the workbench over there. I grab that and eat that ice cream. Lick the inside of that carton. If CSI had come in, they wouldn't be able to tell you what was in that carton when I was finished. The phone rings. She says, you ate the ice cream, didn't you? And I said, yes, I did. So if it's there, I'm going to eat it. And that's, I think, 90% of the battle is getting those foods away from you. The other lethal thing is at work, in the break room, and people all have office break rooms. As you know, they have the nurse's lounge, doctor's lounge, where there's just tons of lethal food sitting there. With sleep deprivation, we know that you make bad decisions about food. We know that's critical to weight loss and maintaining it is sleep. So with you are at night, working all night, and there are those donut holes sitting there. They've been there for probably a day or two, and they look mighty inviting, and you're probably going to eat them. So other trick is to take food with you that's healthy food when you go to work. Take it in the car and don't be subject to that stuff that's lying around out there because you will eat it.
Joe, great story. Joe?
All right, thank you, Dr. Mike. Dr. Robert Slay, read his book called The Buddy Battle Diet. It's available now on Amazon.com.
The Battle Buddy Diet.
Battle Buddy Diet, and it's available on Amazon.com. Udocs@gmail.com, Youdocs@gmail.com. Check us out at iHeartRadio. It's a great way to experience your favorite shows and personalities and hear what's going on in the world of health today. Try it out for free. Go to iHeartRadio.com. Download the app or use the web. If you're using the web, click Talk on the main menu and search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom. I'm very proud of you, honey.
Thanks.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julian and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to Parents Guide. CordBlood.org to learn more.